All right, let's do this. We're going live in 5, 4, 3. Good afternoon and welcome back to Intrepid Lifestyle. I am your host, Todd Schnick. I've had the pleasure of interviewing this gentleman, today's guest, before, and it's always a fascinating conversation, and I love what he and his team are building on the Pacific Northwest. Really cool stuff, and they have an exciting new direction the company's going. We're going to get into that a little bit today. So let's get to it. Let's welcome back to the show Ted Pappas. He's the owner of Big Bottom Distilling. Ted, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it, man.
And it's good to talk to you as always. We're also joined by Travis Shoney, the distiller and production czar with Big Bottom Distilling. Travis, welcome.
How's it going?
It's going great. I guess you guys are having an awful lot of fun right now. Some really exciting stuff going on. We're going to talk about this new Big Bottom Oregon Gin that you have just launched that I also understand is has it even been on market a month and it's already won awards? So we're going to get into that. But Ted, do me a favor. Tell the story of Big Bottom and talk about the transition from Big Bottom Whiskey to Big Bottom Distilling.
Well, you know, I started the company in 2010, and at that time I was shopping for money, looking around, and we didn't need a lot. You know, when you really want to get a small distillery going, you're way south of $400,000. And I was having a hard time raising that. That's really a friends and family type level stuff. And a buddy of mine who owns a distillery up in Washington said, you know, why don't you just go in and start using found spirits and get your business going that way? You can probably bootstrap it. And so we did. And that was a different time. There were craft distilleries and productions shops popping up, but they weren't a lot of them. So we started out as an independent bottler, but all along I knew I wanted to migrate into distilling in-house and bring it all, have it under our control. So we started, I made it a point that though the name of the company is Big Bottom Distilling, we spun a DBA off of Big Bottom Whiskey because I didn't want to have the term distilling in the name until we were doing it ourselves. And then one day Travis walks in my door, and this is actually what happened. He really walked into my door, and my response was more like, who the hell are you? And so here comes this guy, you know, oh, he worked at High West and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. So about a month went by, and I called him up and said, yeah, why don't you come out and do some part-time work? And after we got talking a lot, it seemed that we have a lot of similarities in our overall attitude with everything, which some might not view as too terribly positive, but we kind of have the attitude of we're going to do what we want to do, and we blend really well with that. And so as time went on, we were able to order a still, get all of our production equipment lined up, and actually start producing stuff in-house. And it was always the vision. We always wanted to get there, and we have now gotten there. And what's funny, now that we've gotten there, we're like, wow, we really need a bigger facility.
Isn't that the case? Always seems to be the case. And I love any organization that just does what they want to do and do it well. So very, very exciting. Travis, talk about craft distilling from 10,000 feet. I mean, it's I think the most exciting part of when you look at the entire world of spirits, what's going on in craft distilling. And talk about why bringing it in-house matters. Why is that so important to you guys?
You know, doing things the way you want to do them is really important. You're not relying on what somebody else has done, somebody else's hard work, repackaging it and selling it as your own. Once you bring everything in-house, it is completely in your control. You can do anything and everything you can possibly think of with it. You can take it any direction you want to go. You can do whatever you want to with it. And that, I think, is worth its weight in gold right there.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So Ted, I've had the pleasure of tasting a bunch of your whiskeys, and there's some amazing stuff there. So, but this is the first distilled product from Big Bottom, this new Big Bottom Oregon Gin. Give us the high-level view of what this product launch is all about, and are you excited about it?
Beyond excited about it. We've been We've been waiting for this. And, you know, people always say, you know, oh, we popped the champagne. We actually did. We got done with the first bottling of it. And I'd had a bottle of champagne in my fridge in the office for, I think, 3 years. And finally, we said, okay, this is the right time to do it. So it was a big deal for us. A lot of the pressure, it's like a pressure release valve going off and finally doing it. And it made sense because I, you know, produce something that you like. Produce something that you would drink. And after whiskey, gin is right there. And so it makes sense. And we wanted to do something, and Travis developed the recipe for it. And we've spent several months going through different iterations of it until we landed on the one that I thought would support being a little unique in the market. And like we've done with our whiskeys and our finished bourbons especially, I wanted to bring people over to the product that didn't normally drink it. And so that's always a trick with gin, because at some point in time, someone could have had a bad experience with it, or just, you know, had a gin that was a very classic London dry and they just didn't like the juniper in it. And so with that, we knew we had the right product to be able to take to market and bring those people over and still maintain a relatively conservative gin crowd that's out there that's learning to appreciate contemporary gins that are in the marketplace.
Travis, I know for a fact that many in my audience consider themselves experts in fine wines or experts in craft brews, craft beer. But there's a lot of people in my audience that they're not as aware, not as knowledgeable of spirits. I wonder if you could do a quick 60-second course on whiskeys and vodkas and gins and just kind of walk us through what the spirit world's all about.
Wow, that's...
Yeah,
that's,
60 seconds, but you gave us a long time.
that's kind of a loaded question. I mean, spirits, you look at whiskey, you know, gin, vodka, rum, they're higher alcohol content. It's not going to be like a wine that's, you know, 15-20%. It's not going to be a beer that's, you know, 5-7%, 10% even. It's something it's concentrated. When you're making whiskey, you're essentially making beer. You're going to have your mash bill with all your grains, everything in it, like you would a beer. Ferment it like you would a beer and turn around, and instead of going into another like tank thing for conditioning or into a bottle, you throw it into a still. And at that point, you're boiling off all the alcohol out of it and leaving the water behind. So in sense, it's a concentrate version of what you would have had with your beer. Now, I mean, there's definitely going to be differences in flavor profiles and stuff like that. Different yeasts that you're using, different grains that you're using, stuff like that. So, but it's kind of hard to compare spirits to beer and wine. In my opinion, it's just a completely different animal. So,
and I think from a consumer point of view, Todd, when you have a someone that is a wine drinker or someone that is just a beer drinker only, there's usually certain reasons why they do it. Being from the South, you know, at least with wine, it probably involves a fine Chablis in a plastic cup. You're not going to really get that much from that. But I think what happens, I think where people are getting it is when they get craft beer and they get the fact that there's variations and there's good products and all that, they get small wineries. They understand that, you know, some of the things are being done on small scales with very few hands. Then they can start to get the spirits industry outside of the big houses. And I think that might be something that actually brings them over, and how they treat it has to be different. You know, to really get into spirits, it's always best to go through a cocktail. And that's where our gin definitely shines, from the simplest concoction of a gin and tonic all the way to a curled Satan's whiskers. It holds up really well. Or the Lee brothers out of South Carolina have a cocktail called a Cheerwine cocktail.
Ooh.
Oh, it is it's deadly. The problem is we have to bootleg Cheerwine into the state to make the cocktail.
All right. Well, I appreciate you gentlemen sharing a little insight into the world of spirits. So Ted and Travis will be back after this quick break. We'll be right back. founded to celebrate the things we prize the most. Sean Minor wines are delicious, approachable, with expressive flavors, and Sean Minor wines are a great value for you and your family. With a portfolio that includes Sean Minor wines, Four Bears wines, and Point North wines, you can learn more at SeanMinorWines.com. That's SeanMinorWines.com. All right, we're back with Ted Pappas and Travis Shoney of Big Bottom Distilling. All right, let's get back to the Big Bottom Oregon gin. So this isn't your traditional London dry gin. This is, you guys describe this as a slightly sweet gin, and you boast that it has 16 botanicals. So tell me about the actual gin itself. How's it made? And then, if Travis, I wouldn't mind if you would add to that, talk a little bit about the distilling process. How do you actually, what are the steps? And then I believe you use an all copper still. So why do you do that?
So first off, before I forget, copper, using a copper still is a good thing. Copper itself actually will have a chemical reaction with alcohol. In the fermentation process, you have like sulfurs and, you know, upwards of like 600 to 800 different compounds that get created. And copper itself will actually pull a lot of those sulfurs and other compounds out that would normally be something that would create a bad product. So it actually has a purpose. Secondly, copper is easy to work with. It's also a very good heat conductor. So, I mean, when you got a still that's got 500 gallons of beer in it, you're trying to heat up. I mean, that's definitely a plus. But the main reason is, yeah, it actually has a chemical reaction with the alcohols and the chemicals and esters and everything that's actually in what you're drinking. So it does clarify things. With the gin, we actually take a neutral base spirit, add our botanicals to it, the 16 botanicals that we picked out, and it actually gets macerated for about 48 hours. And then we take that, put that into our still, heat it up, get it going. And the still that we have is actually a column still. So there's a difference between like a pot still that's just the pot, an arm, and a condenser, where you have a column still that actually has plates up on top of the pot that essentially redistilled a couple of times depending on how many plates you have. So most gins are actually run through a simple pot still. We run ours through a column still. It cleans it up a little bit more. It adds a little bit more body to it. It makes a smoother product, in my opinion. It makes it a little more delicate. So that's it in a nutshell, I guess.
Yeah, and as we hinted at the top of the show, that the Big Bottom Oregon gin's already classified as an award-winning gin. Tell us about that.
Yes, so this past weekend, I was at the American Craft Spirits Association, and this is basically a trade organization. There are a couple of different organizations out there. This one is really designed for the established distilleries, and we do a lot of work that does hang around in the legislative space, as well as really, really just for trade. So to go to a competition like this, it's kind of like the different award ceremonies. It's the one that's being done by your peers. That's really when you can walk away with your head held high. And the Oregon Gin took a gold medal. So we were very happy with that. It was a very pleasant surprise for having a product that essentially hasn't really been out to market for, you know, a couple of weeks. We did a soft launch on the gin in December, just out of our tasting room. And we did that because we wanted just to get people's reaction to it. It was extremely positive. And we did the official launch on February 1st. And we'll have product going out of state starting next week. So that'll be really good. And don't worry, we're going to get some to Georgia.
Just outstanding. It can't come soon enough, pal. All right. Well, you know, congratulations on the award. Very, very exciting. We already knew that the whiskeys from Big Bottom were already award winning. So this is very, very exciting out of the gate. You know, Ted, many say that gin is the underappreciated spirit. Is leading off your new distilled direction with gin, is that a risky move? Is it a tremendous opportunity? Is it both? I mean, it sounds like you guys believe that gin's going through a major renaissance.
Yeah, I would say it's always a little bit of both, right? Because you just don't know how the public is going to respond. You know, we have We basically have attention spans of gnats nowadays. And, you know, that always runs into an issue with it. But having confidence in the product and knowing it's a solid product and it's not going to segregate ourselves within already a tight space in the market was key. What's happening with gin now is everyone's realizing that if we get away from the traditional London dry gin, there's a whole bunch of different ways to do this product. And so a lot of guys are actually, and gals are learning how to express their creativity and their artisanal spirit through a gin. And that's the cool part. It's being able to take something and really put your own spin on it. Even with the gin that we've got with the 91 proof Oregon gin, we actually have two different versions of that coming out. One of them is 114 proof Navy strength gin, which basically is the 91 proof gin with more alcohol, but it brings out the botanicals completely different. And then we take the same gin and we've barrel aged it. And we're doing a combination of different types of woods that will give it even more complexity, more spice to it, and change it. And we're doing that with the same gin because we want to show people how, even after you've come up with a recipe that's solid, that tastes great, you can still take it and transform it by either adjusting the proof or barreling it. In this case, we'll probably have it in barrels for anywhere between 6 to 9 months.
Yeah, see, I think that's the factor about gin distilling that I think those beer and wine drinkers don't know is all the levels of creativity that you can put into that. And that's really, really exciting when you're thinking of that craft distilling marketplace. I have to ask, tell the audience the story behind why you have 91 proof liquor.
Yep, 91 proof is a call out to all my classmates from the Citadel. I'm a graduate of class of 91. And so we try to do everything at 91 proof. I have to start caveating that in because we're going to have a couple of products that come out that actually will do better at a little bit of a lower proof and some that will do better at higher. But when we take a look at our two current staples, those are at 91. And that's our Barlow Trail Whiskey and our Oregon Gin. So we try to plan to keep as much as we can at that proof because, you know, it's a great number. What can I say?
It is a great number and a great story. I recognize, of course, that the focus of the company the next several months will be pushing this launch of the Big Bottom Oregon Gin. But what is next? What should we be looking forward from you guys in the next over the next year?
Well, man, okay, thanks. What's funny is my wife is our marketing and promotions person, and we've had to actually slow some of our products down because we have just, you know, on the marketing side of the house, it's like, dude, really? Chill out a little bit. So I will tell you this. We've taken our Barlow Port or our Barlow Trail whiskey, and we've done a port finished version of it, and it's phenomenal. It actually also got an award this past weekend. It got a silver medal in its appropriate category. And so we are really happy about that one as well. That's coming out. And this is kind of an interesting one, Todd, and hopefully you can creatively edit to get it how long as you need this to be. But about a year ago, three distilleries in Oregon got together. It was us, Bull Run Distilling, and Indio Spirits. And we wanted to produce a product that really came from the brainchild of Lee over at Bull Run. And it was called Starka. And Starka is an aged vodka. And there's a story behind it. I won't go too much into the story of historically what Starka is, but it's an aged vodka. So we sat around, like any couple of distillers would, with a large amount of beer and discussion. And basically came up with the idea of the Oregon Starka Project. What the Oregon Starka Project is, it's a collaboration of multiple distilleries that are doing their own spin on an aged vodka and call it Starka. So March 7th to be specific, at an event called Toast, which will be in Oregon, sponsored by the Oregon Distillers Guild, which I just happen to be president of, we'll be launching the Oregon Starka Project. And it'll be the collaboration. We'll all three have our products there, along with 40 other distilleries. But we'll all have our products there, all the Starka projects, to try it out. That's going to be a really unique push. And here's why it's unique. The product itself is really good. That it goes without saying. But it's when I look back at a lot of the collaborations that have been done in the distilling world, they've usually been between distillery and brewery, not distillery and distillery. And this is a case where we've got three distilleries that have come together to do this. Though we fly our own banner on the label, and we each have our own unique label and unique bottle, there'll be a common tax strip to acknowledge the Oregon Starka Project. And we've all agreed that this will be an annual thing. So once a year, we'll release another batch of it. And hopefully invite other distilleries to actually join us in Oregon who want to get involved with this. So I think that's the cool thing about it. It's the collaboration, really, that's neat. Because distilleries don't normally collaborate together. Usually it's with the distillery and somebody else. So I think that's the big thing about this project. That comes out in March. And then all of our brandies are going to start rolling out probably in the next 90 days or so. And it's going to be an Oregon apple and an Oregon pear brandy. We will keep some of the apple brandy behind and finish it in a white port barrel. That'll be for a warehouse release probably around Christmas time. After that, we'll be able to release the Navy Strength gin. After that, the barrel-aged gin will come around. And then somewhere in between there, we're actually going to release a proprietor select rum. And what that is a combination of in-house distilled rum blended with a four-year-old aged rum that we procured domestically that we've had sitting in Big Bottom whiskey bourbon barrels for the last year. So, yeah, we got a few things going on up here.
Good Lord, I'm moving to Oregon. Jeez Louise, some exciting stuff going on. I didn't realize you guys were doing brandies and rum. That's very, very exciting. Well, Ted, you have an awful lot to do, so I'll let you go. Before I do let you go, how can people get in touch with you all and learn more about Big Bottom Distilling and get their hands on some of this Big Bottom Oregon gin?
Best way is to go to bigbottomdistilling.com. Has a lot of information there. For online stuff, because liquor has different restrictions on shipping and what have you, we have identified Benny's out of Chicago as our online retailer. So a lot of our products are kept at Benny's. They will be the first, Chicago will be the first one to get the gin in the out-of-state market. And so Benny's will probably be the first one to get it after that. So that's a great place to do it. And they can always email us at info@bbdistilling.com.
All right. Travis Shoney, distiller and production czar, and Ted Pappas, the owner of Big Bottom Distilling. Gentlemen, as always, great to chat with you. Thanks for giving me some time.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. Well, that wraps this episode. Again, on behalf of my guests, Ted Pappas and Travis Shoney, I'm Todd Schnick. I'm going to give these guys my address so they can send me all this stuff, and we'll talk to you soon on Intrepid Lifestyle.